Federal Defense of Marriage Constitutional Amendment didn't go down for the simple reason that that defined marriage as the relationship between one man and one woman, and based on what they what the abject stupidity engaged in by the Congress this past Sunday or early Monday morning, they redefined marriage in America to be the relationship between one man, one woman, a Congress, and a president. Didn't they? That's my thinking on the matter. Now, other things. You know, I had a story the other day, and I really hadn't, because of the Terri Schiavo thing, I hadn't had a chance to get around to it. This is another one of those stories from beautiful North Carolina. Headline says, Church State Lesson Learned, School Admits It Crossed Line. Young lady named Ashley Nicole Smith. She is a local school spelling bee champion. She's a president of the Sunnyside Beta Club. And she took one of the lessons home to her parents. And the parents complained to the principal of the school, and the principal said, well, what's the problem? Don't you and your family go to church? And but they promised, here's what it is. This particular school district in Cumberland County, North Carolina, got sued because the teacher used a banned textbook that just screamed creationism and told children to go out and sort of beat the bushes for Jesus. And this is the part that grabbed me. Now, the school, after the suit was filed, the school fessed up, said they were using the wrong material, bad, shouldn't have been done. Teachers are forbidden from endorsing any religion. I like that idea because we take care of religion in the home and in church. We don't need it taken care of by some teacher. Because, you know, I'm behind the teachers, but heaven only, their religion is their business. Mine and my family's is ours. But this one teacher was using this bizarro textbook in fifth grade. And this past February, young Ashley Nicole Smith, who was a star student, came home with a worksheet where she was marked wrong for answering a question that said, why are many animals colored to match their surroundings? And young Ashley marked chance. Probably the correct answer is natural selection. But she was marked wrong in any event because the teacher said she was supposed to mark God's master design. Let's not go into the tsetse fly when we're talking about the master design. But here's the best part. And this really does have a point because I thought this was just a loopy story. Because this teacher was teaching the children. This is a quote from the text. God's word tells us about a kind of odor. That's right, odor. God's word tells us about a kind of odor only Christians have. I'm not making this up, okay? This is not off the Onion. God's word tells us about a kind of odor only Christians have. You got that? And then the text asks, could someone find Christ by the scent trail you are leaving behind you? I mean, what is this, little Christian skunks for Jesus? So that just kind of blew me away. The problem is solved, but, good old red state America. So then I run across this one, and everything just begins to make perfect sense. There is no end to the profiteering on the name of Jesus. And this is from 14WFIE in Evansville, Indiana. You can find candles with just about every fragrance imaginable, from blueberry to ocean mist to hot apple pie. Now there's a candle that lets you experience the, quote, scent of Jesus, unquote. No, Taylor Sky, I'm not lying. The scent of Jesus. And surprisingly, it's straight from, not Bethlehem, but South Dakota. Whoop! And they are going like hotcakes. Bob Tosterud is the candle maker. And it's a candle called His Essence. And the makers promise that you will experience the fragrance of Christ. I find this incredibly offensive. Do they just come in a little jar or manger shaped? I mean, I've heard of what would Jesus do, but this is what does Jesus smell like? Please. It was the hottest item in South Dakota for Christmas. It turns out it comes from Psalm 45. And candle maker Karen Tosterud explains, it's a messianic psalm referring to when Christ returns, and his garments will have the scent of myrrh, aloe, and cassia. There's only one problem. Psalm 45, I went and read it. It can't refer to when Christ returns because Christ hadn't even been there yet when Psalm 45 was written. These people will do anything to make a buck in the name of this Palestinian carpenter who just wanted us to be a little nicer to each other. It's heartbreaking in a way. We wanted people to be able to experience Christ in new ways and to be able to read a Bible and have that scent and that candle as a reminder that He is with us all the time. It's a Jesus candle. Now, I understand the tradition of going to church and lighting a candle for the dearly departed souls and as a prayer and blah, 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 blah. But lighting your Jesus candle to get rid of the cigar smoke? Or to cover up the fish you fried on Friday? No! Is there no end to this? One wonders. The candles are in about 150 stores. I'm not going to tell you how you can get them. But I will tell you this. Jesus candles are $18 a piece. What would Jesus do? Jesus would give them away, but not the Tosterudes, because there's money to be made in His name. Oh! So we start with that. And believe me, there's plenty more. And, of course, whatever you've got on your mind. The phone number is 252-6200 here in beautiful Uptown Beckley. Outside the local calling area, it's 800-620-WWNR. That's 9967. That comes in especially handy if you're listening to the incredibly busy Internet stream at WWNRNewsTalk620.com. We've got a lot of people hitting that these days, so if you get bumped off a couple of times, please try to come back. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
You are the toughest men and women in the area. West Virginia Sports Promotions presents the 26th Annual Southern West Virginia Budweiser Original Tough Man Contest. As seen on TV. This exciting event is being sponsored by 84 Lumber, Hometown Subaru, and Charter Media. It's coming April 1st and 2nd to Bickley's Raleigh County Armory. See up to 100 area men and women slug it out for thousands in prize money, tough man jackets, and the title Toughest Man and Toughest Woman. Plus, an opportunity to advance to the World Championships and fight on national TV. Tickets are on sale now. Starting at just $12 for general admission. Reserved at VIP ringside seats also available. Get your tickets today at the Raleigh County Armory or at any Ticketmaster outlet, including Kroger. Charge by phone at 304-342-5757. For additional information or to sign up, call 1-800-296-3897. That's 1-800-296-3897. It's the 26th Annual Southern West Virginia Budweiser Original Tough Man Contest. As seen on TV. Coming April 1st and 2nd at Beckley's Raleigh County Armory.
Tough it out.
There are three things you get at L&S Toyota. Great prices, big selection, No hassles. Now here's the specials of the week. L&S Toyota has brand new 2005 Corollas, over 35 to choose for as low as $13,818, including a $500 factory rebate. Buy a brand new 2005 Camry, over 25 to choose for as low as $17,585, including a $750 factory rebate. Plus, buy Toyota certified pre-owned vehicles with 3.99 APR financing for 48 months, a 6-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, roadside assistance, and a 160-point quality assurance inspection. The specials of the week at L&S Toyota, 300 Rural Acres Drive in Beckley. 05 Corollas, $13,818. 05 Camry, $17,585. Offers on select models with approved credit. Prices plus tax, tag, and registration fees. Dealer retains rebates and incentives. Example, 2001 Solara, $270 per month for 48 months at 3.99% financing with zero down. Offer ends 3/31/05.
If you want to go shopping for the same old stuff, go to Walmart.
But if you're looking for antiques, crafts, and collectibles, there's only one place to go. Beaver Creek, loaded with fascinating items. And you won't believe the buys. Come see the Amish Pantry. Discover the excitement of shopping again at Beaver Creek Antiques, Craft, and Collectibles Mall. Exit 125 Airport Road off I-64. Also, affordable vendor booth space available. Call 254-9835. 254-9835. It's a shopping experience like no other. Beaver Creek Antique, Craft, and Collectibles.
Radio for the real majority.
Can't you smell that smell?
Welcome back. 19 and a half minutes after 7 o'clock. This is Head On. I'm Bob. And Jose has been waiting. Jose, good evening, sir. How are you?
How you doing, Bob?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Struggling.
Well, I know. Don't we all?
Yes. Yes, a full moon tonight.
Is it really? I hadn't noticed.
Yeah, the Jewish month, Nisan 14th.
That's true.
And thought I'd give you a call.
I appreciate that.
A lot of tragedy, I know, with your mother and the lady down in Florida.
Right.
My mother here locally, she 21 or 23 years, I don't remember which, for the Board of Education, Cook.
Mm-hmm.
And she suffered a lot. Raleigh General, they had her in Pinecrest.
Oh, my.
And sold her 2 units of blood, which she didn't need. And then shipped her back to Pinecrest, and they let her choke to death on her food over there.
Oh.
So I took baby food to where they'd feed her because, see, she's 87.
Mm-hmm.
Then lost her teeth, couldn't keep up with her glasses, and
right.
You know the tragedy that elderly people go through.
We don't cherish our elderly people in this country, do we, Jose?
Well,
I don't mean you don't, but I mean as a society, we don't.
No, they don't. They want to ship them off to some nursing home or get rid of them. It's sad.
Yeah, it is, because they. Our elderly population has more to add to this society than what we credit them with.
It's true. We need them.
Yes, we do. They have learning that we're forgetting, Jose.
That's true. You know, they got a lot of knowledge, especially people that goes back to 1907, 1906, and up in their 80s and 90s and 100s.
And people are, you know, they say people are living longer now, but they you know. We've gotten so fat as a society, they say the next generation may barely live into its 60s.
Well, it's hard on our hearts, ain't it?
Yes, it is.
Obesity is.
Yeah, there's a reason those old folks have lived to that advanced age, and it's not just miracle medicines. Especially the country people that we're accustomed to, they knew how to eat, and they weren't afraid to work.
Amen. Coal miners and school cooks and
school teachers,
right? Done a lot of hard work, building the roads and so forth to different people. And
we owe them a lot, don't we?
Yes. And you was talking about Bible and odor.
Yeah.
In the Bible, it's called B.O.
Well, that's,
that's Bible odor.
Okay.
And it's forgotten anymore. We used to live in what they call the Bible Belt, but I believe now it's the gambling belt. and drugs and et cetera.
Well, you know, this story about these candles, I believe in the free market and free enterprise, but, you know, trafficking in the name of Jesus at $18 a candle, is that a little bit offensive to you?
Well, Christ wouldn't have sold candles. He sent them out without a purse.
Yeah. And he said, don't worry about what you're going to need.
Right.
You'll be taken care of.
It's like you say, it's big business, and $18 for a candle. I don't believe in paying them 10% to read me the Bible either.
Well, you know, I can't help but agree with you. There's a reason they bother to teach us to read.
That's right. See, in Revelation, Jesus said, take life's water free. He didn't say 10% or $18 for candles and $40,000, $50,000 a year salary.
No, he kind of had a radical streak, didn't he?
Well, he was perfect.
He
called them what he called them, hypocrites and
vipers,
offspring of vipers and robbers, and that's the reason he run them out of the temple.
Exactly, and now it seems to me, Jose, now we've got them installed in the temples, if you know what I mean.
They're thick.
Yeah.
That's the reason something's got to happen.
Well, you know, you hear all this talk about false prophets bless me, I'm wondering if the false prophets aren't the ones who are in the mainstream churches.
Well, they are. They're the Antichrist, because Christ ain't going to be out selling candles for $18 for a candle.
Nope.
Or $40,000, $50,000, or $8 million for, you know?
Yeah, I do know. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I just thought I'd call and touch bases with you.
It's always good to hear from you, Jose.
And hope Jehovah bless and have a good night.
And you as well,
sir. Take care of them children.
That's what we're trying to do.
Okay,
appreciate
bye.
It now. Bye now. And first-time caller, Xenia's with us. Hey, Xenia, you're head on.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
I kind of wanted to shift gears from this Jesus candle, although I also think it's offensive to make money off of somebody who was completely against, you know, the commercialism of religion.
Right.
But I'd like to address the issue that we're reading in the paper about the coal mining industry demanding their money back for taking our coal out of our state, as if they could tax, you know, our state for taking and basically shipping our state overseas.
Oh, that's a screamer, isn't it?
It is. I thought, you know, what are the odds that we might have to pay this money back to? I mean, can we get our coal back versus paying the tax back?
No, that's the funny part of it. You know, it's a finite resource, and once it's burned, it's gone.
Yes.
So, yeah, and I hadn't even touched on that story. I'm glad you brought it up. For those who may have missed it today, Massey and Arch and a number of other coal companies have decided they want their severance taxes back to the tune of $500 million. And that just drives me crazy.
They're not making enough.
No, well, and that's the thing, you know, the heads of these companies, and I know you're a first-time caller, and it's awfully good to have you with us. We mentioned something from time to time. A lot of these coal executives have not figured out, Xenia, that they're not hooking U-Hauls to hearses.
Right.
These guys do it, you know, but $500 million, you know, they're not rich enough yet.
Yeah, that's it. And obviously we're not.
So, no.
And that's the issue that, you know, they're paying these taxes because they are taking our resources away. So how dare they expect us to pay for them removing our resource, you know? I mean, I just don't understand their logic.
That's like paying the mugger.
Right. That's a good analogy. Exactly. Yeah. Now, is our governing body, the Supreme Court, going to fall for this, or do you think we have to worry about this? Or?
They are gonna fall. Well, if things turn out as expected, they're expected to fall for it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, that's why Don Blankenship bought him a brand new shiny Supreme Court justice last November. If you remember Brent, well, we call him Brent Blankenship.
Yeah,
Brent Benjamin, and then there's Spike Maynard. He's, you know, he's in Don's camp, so that's two votes out of five. All you got to do is swing one more, and Robin Davis may very well go that way, and boom, there you have it, $500 million out of our budget paid back to the coal industry.
Yeah, And so how are the people supposed to compensate for the lost revenue once more when we're struggling with just daily living expense?
Well, you know, I mean, we're just people. They're coal companies. They're important.
Oh.
We're just people, so we'll put a couple of extra layers of clothing on the kids when we send them to schools and where they'll, you know, sit in the classroom and see their breath in the air because the coal companies don't have enough money.
Right.
Maybe we can make up the revenue by letting them jack the food tax up on us another 5 or 10%.
Oh, that'll do it. Because we have to eat.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah, they kind of got us over a barrel on that one, don't they?
Yeah. I just wonder what it takes for citizens to see, you know, the coal industry, not coal itself, and not the people who work at mining the coal, but the industry itself is not our friend.
No.
You know, then this is what we're hearing, and it's being promoted. I just saw today with the pretty little leaves and everything. You know, I wish I could put that, you know, the belt that Wonder Woman wore,
yeah.
You know, where they had to tell the truth. I wish I could put that on one of them. Just once, you know, before they locked me up and dragged me away because
yeah,
they're telling the truth, you know.
If you made them tell the truth, Xenia, they'd spontaneously combust.
Yeah. They would. You're right. Well, that was my issue I wanted to talk about.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so very glad that you called, and I hope we'll hear from you again.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Wonderful,
I'm
then.
I'm glad to have found you there.
I'm glad you did.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye
you
now.
You too. Bye.
And there goes another half hour. So we'll take our bottom of the hour break when we come back. More of your calls to 252-6200 outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. It may have a new name, but officials say the group that runs the Raleigh County Armory will still be doing things the same way. Yesterday, the Raleigh County Commission approved a resolution that renames the Raleigh County Armory Board as the Beckley Raleigh County Convention Center Incorporated. The county runs the armory, along with the City of Beckley and the Raleigh County Board of Education, which approved the resolution 2 weeks ago. Commission Attorney Carl Roop says the resolution is a first step toward local control of the armory.
I think there has to be a legal entity identified by the Secretary of State's office for ownership of real estate. And I'm not so sure the prior agreement would take care of that.
Now that the 150th Armored Division of the National Guard will move out of Raleigh County to a new facility in Glen Jean, Roop and others say it's important to keep a vital part of the community in local hands. Monday's tragic high school shootings in Red Lake, Minnesota, have revived concerns about school safety nationwide. Those concerns were raised at last night's meeting of the Raleigh County Board of Education. Members said that while no one expects such an incident to occur here, they cannot rule out the possibility. Miller Hall, Safety Schools Coordinator for the county, and Safety Director John Barnett reported on what's being done to keep the county's schools safe. Barnett says he's been working with county 911 officials on an emergency operations plan for each school. Raleigh County's buses will soon be running under a new name. Officials with the county's public transportation system says they will change their name within the next few months from Community Action Transportation to Raleigh Express. Bobby Thomas Bailey with the Raleigh County Community Action Association says the name change better reflects the company's mission. She says many people think the name Community Action means you have to be a low-income resident to ride the bus, Bailey hopes the new name will let people know that public transportation is for everyone. That's the news. Now here's the forecast for this evening. Chance of showers and thunderstorms. Tonight a chance of showers, mostly before midnight. Rest of the night then mostly cloudy and cooler with a low near 38. Then for Thursday, slight chance of showers in the morning. The rest of the day to be mostly cloudy to partly cloudy by late afternoon. Thursday's high near 50. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack when you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
While the country debates whether or not Congress overstepped its boundaries by taking on the Terri Schiavo case, some organizations are saying it highlights a deeper problem with the state of health care and the hypocrisy of the current administration. Dr. Quentin Young is a national coordinator of Physicians for a National Health Program.
This woman's alive because of Medicaid, which the administration, which convened the Congress, is trying to reduce sharply, and Congress happily last week overruled this cut. But if the administration had its way, the monies that is keeping her alive would disappear and make all this activity moot.
Schiavo's family has been able to keep their daughter alive, mostly through money they won in a malpractice suit filed in 1993. According to the Seattle Times, of the $1 million won in that suit, only $50,000 is left to keep Schiavo alive. Dr. Young says that if tort reforms being pushed by the administration had been in effect in 1993, Schiavo would not be alive today.
You have a little bit of cynicism here. In real life, they're curtailing the programs that would allow her to live even the state they wish. In actuality, they are seeking maximum public response around this emotional issue.
2,000 members of the United Steelworkers of America are striking against Cooper Tire Company in Arkansas. Workers there say the company wants to cut benefits and wages as it invests in China. Workers are picketing the plant that made 40,000 tires a day before the strike started March 13th. The company has gone to court trying to prevent picketing workers from blocking plant entrances. David Boone, president of United Steelworkers of America Local 752, says that striking workers are not doing anything illegal at the company's entrance. The union says workers had to strike to defend health benefits and wages. Now that the UAW has agreed for the first time to roll back some of its health care benefits for its members at Chrysler, GM and Ford may not be far behind in demanding deductibles and other payments where auto workers in the past have not had to pay a dime. GM won't comment on its contracts with the UAW. UAW health benefits have long been the best blue-collar health benefits in the nation. GM meets with the UAW next month to talk about its current dismal finances and its health care costs.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Feeling overworked? You're hardly alone. A new study by Families and Work Institute reveals that 1 in 3 U.S. workers are chronically overworked. And if you are a baby boomer, you may have a harder time balancing home and job than Generation Xers. 37% of those between 40 to 59 report being heavily overworked, while only 29% of those between 26 and 39 have the same problem. At businesses where employees are given some flexibility, only 26% report feeling overworked.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. It's about 23 and a half minutes before 8 o'clock. A reminder, the phone number is 1-800-620-9967, locally 252-6200. Have you ever been conned or ripped off or victimized? Ever, say, won one of those free trips to Florida? You know, the kind you sign up for at the gas station or the convenience store. You've won. Now all you have to do is look at 42 condominiums. Or maybe you've gotten the email about the Nigerian expatriate who desperately needs your help securing the finances of blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm talking about. And if you've ever, God forbid, fallen for one of those schemes, you feel after it's done a little foolish, a lot foolish. You feel like you've been had. Well, it feels like burglary. There's this flavor of violation to it. I'm feeling that now. Because, now, you remember when we were dealing early on in the special session of the legislature with the workers' comp bill, and they told us, yeah, we're going to stick it to that coal company. We're going to raise their rates on the severance tax, and we're going to make them pay, baby. Because we're going to, you know, they're the ones that deadbeated workers' comp, and we're going to make them pay. And we're going to pay down this workers' comp debt. You do remember that. Right, right. And then we found out that Appalachian Power got to pass the costs along to us without even so much as a howdy-do to the Public Service Commission. Yeah, that made me want to take a shower. And then we found out that they were, we're going to retire the debt from the bond sales with $45 million of general revenue every year. So that's $45 million we don't have for things that people actually need in this state. And then along comes this. Now, you can tell me that I've got my little tinfoil hat on, that the black helicopters are circling outside, whatever. But the fact remains, isn't this the coal industry saying, we're getting those severance taxes back, sugar. We're going to take them back. You thought you were going to raise our severance taxes. That's okay, because we got us some justices at the Supreme Court of Appeals of West Virginia, and they're going to make you give the money back. Because what it boils down to is a suit that was filed last year in front of Kanawha County Circuit Judge Todd Coffin. And God bless him, Todd Coffin is a good man. And he looked at him and said, you guys got to be crazy. Because they said, well, you know, we want you to refund our severance taxes on the coal we exported. No. But does it begin to look a little bit like a pattern? I mean, do you feel like you've just paid to have your driveway resurfaced or your gutter or your curbside painted or your gutters rehung? Or bought some real dandy siding and they never bothered to come back, just took the money and run? That's what this feels like to me. I feel like we have been conned in the worst possible way. $500 million that Big Coal wants back from us when they already made a humongous, obscene profit on the coal to begin with that came from our mountains. Your mountains, my mountains, your grandkids' mountains, your great-grandkids' mountains. And it's not going to be put back. No, it's not coming back. But they want $500 million extra. What can we do without? Xenia asks a good question. What are we going to do without so Big Coal can have its money back? Ghouls? Heat in the schools? Roads? Pothole repair? We can go without pothole repair, can't we? I mean, you can afford to have your car realigned every month or so because Big Coal needed its money back, can't you? You can do that for Big Coal, can't you? Because that's what being a good West Virginian's all about. Bowing down and doing what has to be done for Big Coal. Or will you? Honest to God, but there should be, whenever arguments are scheduled for this case, there should be a procession of pitchforks and torches to the Supreme Court of Appeals of West Virginia. But then, and here's the fun part. Now, see, if it had just been Massey asking for their tax dollars back, we could have said, hey, Brent Blankenship, get off the case. You got no business on it. You were bought and paid for. You're a prostitute of the worst order. Get off the case. Because, after all, you know, like we know, Don Blankenstein, you know, Don Colleoni, did buy himself his little boy Brent. But no, this is a chess match. You know, they're four or five moves ahead, because it's not just Massey. It's Consul, it's Arch, too. And as a consequence, Well, you know, it's just all of coal, so necessarily Brent doesn't have a conflict of interest, and he can freely do his dirty business that he has been bought and paid to do. Oh, Lordy, have we been snookered. Wonder who was thinking about this when they passed the workers' comp severance tax increase. Wonder who all knew this was coming up. Wonder who all didn't bother to mention it. You know, there are sins of omission as well as commission. This is a sin of omission. Lordy, we've been had again. Not even kissed. Let's heavens to Betsy. Arguments have not been scheduled. I'm going to keep an eye on this. When the arguments are scheduled, I hope I'll see it coming. And if you're up for a pitchforks and torches parade, I'm into it. I'll be there with you. This is just slimy. We're 44 minutes into the, we're 44 minutes into the program, and I feel like I need a shower. When are we going to quit letting them do this to us? When? Or do we like it? You know, they say that a dog that's been kicked long enough expects to be kicked and gets to where they kind of like getting kicked. Is that where we are? God, I hope not. You'd think that maybe we'll wise up, but you don't know. You just don't know. Let's go to the phones. That's 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. I'm addled from this. I'm a little head up. Jim's with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Hello.
Hey.
Bob, I can't hear you.
Well, doggone, I'm sorry.
My God. Well, my name's Shady Sam. Let me sell you a used car.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Wheels and the wheels is extra.
Well, I know. It's like Mae West once said, come on up here and tell your fortune. I'll tell you how you can be had.
Exactly.
It's about the truth. You know, I wanted to have a few comments to make
sure.
About this the Shivo situation.
Sure.
I just saw one of the protesters out in front of the hospice where she's ensconced make the statement that they will be held to pay from the people who had fooled the right-wing Christians who were elected by them to power, but yet they refused to use it.
Well, you think the rubber mask is finally coming off, Jim?
I don't know. I thought that was quite interesting to this man. He was pretty vituperative, pretty vocal.
Yeah, because they're good, honest, godly, right-wing, conservative Christian Supreme Court didn't do what they wanted, did they?
Well, you know, if this thing continues to happen, maybe Cheeseboro Pond stock will go up because I'm sure they're going to have enough Vaseline for everybody sticking at each other. You know it?
Well, you know, I can't think of anything more fun than watching the right wing religious fundies come all unglued.
You know, Bob, this happens. The same thing that's happened to this lady happens 4,000 times a day in this country.
Yeah.
Now, if you can imagine the cost that would be incurred if we were to go through all this for every 4,000 persons that this happens to on a daily basis, it would be astronomical.
Well, yeah, it would. And, you know,
I mean, the courts would be so clogged they couldn't do anything else.
But you bring up a good idea, Jim, or at least the way I perceive it, you do. And that is, you know, we know Mrs. Shivo is on Medicaid.
Right.
And God knows if I've turned the radio on once, I've turned it on a million times, and heard some filthy right-wing hate monger screaming about how dirty and nasty people are getting that welfare. You've heard it too, right?
Oh, many times.
Okay, here's my suggestion. I will concede the point and agree to, you know, if it was me, if I'm the guy making the decision, I'll concede the point and agree to the feeding tube being reinstalled in Mrs. Shivo, as long as the money for her upkeep comes directly out of the pockets of the Republican National Committee.
Oh, no. You wouldn't want to do that, because then they get credit for her keeping her alive.
Oh, no. Because remember what Holy Republican Communion is. You got some communion in your pocket, don't you? That jangling folding stuff.
Yeah, I think I know.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, if she starts taking a little too much Holy Republican Communion, she's going to find herself in a mercy-killing situation in a hurry, just like little son Hudson did in Texas and with George Bush's filthy 1999 law.
But for some reason, these people have just gone absolutely, absolutely bananas. And, you know, and basically this, you know, with the Vatican jumping in on it, you know, with this Evangelica Vitae, I think it's Call for Life. That's mm-hmm. where Bush is getting that from.
Right.
From the papal encyclical.
Well, see, that's because, and I'm not gooning on anybody here, Jim, but...
Well, I understand. I'm not either, but I'm
Mammy,
just saying that the
Mammy,
Catholic Church does not speak with one voice on this.
Well, Mammy Bush, though, Mammy Bush is a little bit upset that Jebby went all Roman Catholic on him.
Well, now, Bush is the one that they're looking to do something about it. And they're pretty upset with him because he just can't, you know, make a rabbit appear from a hat. But something that's very interesting that I heard her brother-in-law statement was made, and he said that back in 1988 that I think one of their grandmothers had died and by mistake had been placed on a ventilator, which was directly against her will,
mm-hmm.
and it lasted for a day. And anyway, after they had taken her off the ventilator, the lady expired and was duly buried, and they were having a luncheon after the funeral. And Terry Schiavo had said to her brother-in-law, and he said this on camera this morning, that she said, under no circumstances do I ever want to be maintained like that.
Well, well, well.
And that's exactly what her brother-in-law said. And I don't think this man would get on national television and tell a lie like that. He has no reason to misrepresent the words or pretended words of this poor creature.
Well, I think finally, I didn't know if there was a limit, Jim, but I think finally these right wing people who just vomit on the idea of sincere faith, these Republicans, I think they have finally overstepped their bounds. 82% of Americans now, according to the latest poll, would not want to live like Terry Schiavo.
Oh, who would? Of course. Listen, I've got one more thing for you because
sure.
I know the fans of time are running quickly through your hourglass, okay?
All right.
This is a story about the fearless leader.
Okay.
President Bush was invited to address a major gathering of the American Indian Nation last week in Arizona
mm-hmm.
and spoke for about an hour on his plans for increasing Native Americans' present standard of living. And he referred to his career when he was the governor of Texas about having said yes 1,237 times for every Indian issue that came to his desk for approval.
Mm-hmm.
And he was pretty vague on the specifics of these approvals. He seemed pretty enthusiastic about his success, about the impression he had made on his red brothers. And at the conclusion of this speech, the tribes presented the president with a plot which inscribed him with his new Indian name, which is Walking Eagle. And he then, of course, departed the area for Air Force One. And a news reporter went up to a group of chiefs and said, you know, what does this Walking Eagle name mean? And the chiefs explained pretty very succinctly that Walking Eagle was always given to the name of a bird that was so full of S-H-I, you know what, that he couldn't fly.
Beautiful, Jim. Treading the razor's edge, you are.
Pardon me?
You're treading the razor's edge.
What do you mean? I do not speak with forked tongue, nor has any surgeon been near my tongue. So I speak
or any other or
speak
any
truth
or any unauthorized tongue splitter. I understand.
So
thanks, Jim.
On that note, allow me to wish you a holy Maundy Thursday.
Thank you very much, and the same to you.
And a good Easter.
Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Okay. Well, that about suits him, doesn't it? Jeff is with us. Hey, Jeff, your head on. There you
are. Hey, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What are they saying about that $500 million because the coal went out of the United States that they shouldn't have to pay the tax on it?
Well, the only word that's used in the little blurb I've got in front of me from the wires...
Is it short?
Yeah, it just says on exported coal. Now, frankly, I don't know if exported coal means coal that left West Virginia or coal that left the confines of the United States of America.
Is that going back 7 years or for like to 1863?
I'm guessing it's the seven. They want a refund for taxes paid back to 1997.
7 years.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. They better be, if that would go through, they sure better count their lucky stars I wasn't governor. Because I would shut the Capitol down until they got a 100% severance tax on that coal.
Well,
if they'd done me like that.
Well, you know, I just said to Jim that maybe the religious right has found its break point. And a long time ago, Wayne said that these people are going to, the wheels are going to come off. Maybe this is our break point. What are we willing to give up for $500 million out of our budget?
Well, I'll tell you, man, we can't afford what we have to pay now. Because, you know, on June 25th, you know, we done got the comp that stacked a lot on top of a lot. And then on June 25th, we're going to talk, what is that, a $10 billion bond?
Yeah, the pension boondoggle.
You know, Bob, you know. That they're going to have to raise taxes to pay this.
Well, yeah, but wait, Jeff. I mean, you know, be a good West Virginian, pony up and say, you know, raise our food tax, because that's what we're here for. We are the fatted calf to be slaughtered by these filthy monsters in big coal.
But I mean, without the $500 million, which I would be stunned if they get that back, because just
will you be?
Yeah.
Now, Don Blankenship. Regularly has dinner with Spike Maynard. He bought Brent Benjamin.
I'll tell you what. If this case goes to the West Virginia Supreme Court...
They've accepted it, Jeff.
It's going there?
It's going. The only thing they haven't done is scheduled oral arguments.
Well, we'll keep it up. I'll be stunned.
Well, I mean, here's how it breaks out. Justice Starcher will not vote to give the money back. Because he's a decent human being and a smart one. Joe Albright will not vote to give the money back because he's a decent human being and a smart one.
So it's that woman.
Robin Davis is the linchpin here.
Is Robin a woman?
Yes.
Yeah.
And she has consistently voted with Uncle Spikey.
You can't ever tell what a woman's going to do.
Nah, don't do that.
I'm just kidding.
Well, Cherie's liable to reach through the board and rip your head off.
Lord, we got $500 million riding on a robin?
Yeah.
Oh,
riding on a robin's wing.
Well.
And frankly, I don't expect her to do the right thing.
If that pension bonding thing passes June 25th, which I'm going to come out, it's too early to start. Getting on it too good, but I'm going to do everything I can to get it beat.
Well, I'm...
Where's the money going to come from to pay that? What is it going to have to be? $400 million year for 30 years?
No, here's the next step. We're going to be told that, well, because the severance taxes are what they are, you know, we've already run them up, so let's blow up some more mountains. Let's speed up the permitting process. Like I said, Jeff, I feel like I'm six moves behind in a chess game with the fastest computer on earth.
That won't cut it. They can't make enough off that severance tax.
Time out, Jeff. Have you not figured it out yet, buddy?
What?
Anything will cut it that they say will cut it.
Yeah, but
here for their convenience.
They can't make enough money off of it. They don't mine that much coal to where they can make
yet. Yet.
They won't pay it. It'd have to be 10-15% severance tax to get $300 million a year.
And you just pass it through to Appalachian Power, and Power passes it through to you, and look who's paying.
I mean, you'll just pay it anyway, and that's why I said all along on the comp thing, won't we just cut the power company out, cut all the middlemen out, and me and you just go down there and, well, how much, you know?
Yeah.
You ever see the Chevy Chase movie where he gets, he jumps that thing and flattens all the tires, and they tow it in the garage, and the guys... He pulls out his money. All right, buddy, what's the damage?
How much you got?
Well, I didn't ask you that. How much? What's the damage? He said, I'm asking you how much it is. And that old big guy banging that wrench in his hand said, I'm asking you how much you got.
That's the answer to it.
And he said, all of it. And that's that's what our state and federal government, if we don't stop and start getting the deficits on both. West Virginia's not in a deficit, but we've just... We're getting ourselves...
Well, do you understand what I'm talking about when I say I feel like I've been involved in a con?
Yeah, me too. I know exactly what you mean.
I've been suckered. I've been had. I mean, this is like trying to shoot the star out with the BB gun, machine gun at the Carnival Midway and knowing that the barrels are crooked.
Like the $7.7 trillion federals, that one day they are going to come. If we can't somehow turn it around, they're going to come and they're going to say all of it.
All of it. Hey, Jeff, we got to roll.
I was going to tell you a story about gas, but...
Okay, well, we got to roll, man.
I might call you back.
Okay.
Thanks.
See ya. We've been had. We've been suckered. First two laws from W.C. Fields. Don't smarten up a chump. Never give a sucker an even break. They know them like science. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Cold trains run today. That mountain stands over our darkened lungs. It's time to ponder what we've become in his company. It's what we know. Change comes hard, change comes slow. Until the bottom falls out, it's how it goes down. Until the money's all drained.
Over 50 years of broadcasting history.
You can depend on us.
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 8 o'clock.
It's your second hour in the liberal sandbox, and you're Head On with Bob Kincaid.
There's been a lot of talk, and there's been a lot of talk here about the third-party bad faith insurance boondoggle that has now, I was expected to make it out of the Senate today. I haven't seen a report lately. But don't forget, there's more than one anti-consumer bill out there, because there's this. Yesterday, the Senate voted 33-1 to advance the Right to Cure bill and let it go to the House of Delegates. Now, what does that say? That says, hey, you, has some business done you dirty? You, Mr. Consumer, Mrs. Consumer, Mrs. West Virginia, ordinary person, have you been ripped off by some company planning on suing them? Guess what? You can't. You've got to write them a nice, friendly little letter and ask them pretty please to do right by you and do it in 20 more days. We'll give you 20 more days. And you can't file that suit for 20 days. Now, never mind that, you've probably been trying to get them to do right by you for a year, 2 years, 3 years. You got to wait 20 more days. You know what this one is? This one has to do with your statute of limitations, because most people out there won't know about this law. But they do know that there's a certain amount of time in which you have to file a lawsuit. It's called a statute of limitations. You know what those are. So, they've tried and they've tried with the company. They've begged them. They've pleaded them. They've been really nice. And the statute's about to run, so you run to a lawyer's office, and he says, I'm sorry, I can't help you because we have to give him a 20-day warning. And since your statute runs in a week, well, your statute of limitations will run out before the warning period will end. I'm sorry, you're out of luck. And if the business tries to make amends, if they offer you a buck and a quarter on a $500 claim and you still sue them, then the business can say, well, we tried to make amends and defend the case that way. And the jury says, well, they tried to make amends. I guess this plaintiff's just being real greedy. See you later. There is some really, really hateful stuff passing through the legislature. And some of it is on rails. Are you bothered by any of this? I mean, no, you don't need. Some of these laws you don't need right now. You don't need to sue an insurance company right now. Is there some possibility in the future, however, that you will? And how are you going to feel when you get to that point where you do need those rights? And then, you know, well, you sat around and said, well, you know, the insurance companies won't come and do business in West Virginia unless we bend over backwards and sell them our soul. How are you going to feel if you support this nightmare when it happens to your, your neighbor, your best friend? But you thought we needed to be more business friendly. Please remember, we talk about the language from time to time on this show. Please remember that when you hear business friendly, what that means is put the wood to consumers. No, not consumers. That means when you hear business friendly, that means put the wood to your neighbors. Maybe the people you go to church with or the folks that you work with every day. Business friendly. West Virginia open for business. If we get much more open for business, well, I thought they wanted us to stay here. How can these people do business if all they're looking to do? Does an honest business need this kind of law? Does an honest business need that? There's another movie line. Which one of those Star Treks was it? Was it? William Shatner standing there. What does God need with a starship? What does an honest business need with a 20-day right to cure? An honest business isn't going to get itself sued by a consumer. An honest business is going to remember that the customer is always right, and they're going to fix it. This right to cure. That's what they call it, right to cure. This right to cure bill is a bill for bad businesses. This right to cure bill is a bill for businesses that mean you no good. Right to cure. I find so much irony in that, a right to cure bill for business, when the ham and bacon curing project down in Monroe and Greenbrier County got eliminated. So they got a right not to cure. These guys have a right to cure. Now, ask yourself, who is this aimed at? Who is this done for? Whose little wish list was the right to cure bill on? You know. Come on, I'll wait. Right to cure. Who needs a right to cure? What kind of business do you have to beg and plead and wheedle? Please won't you do right by us. Please won't you do right by us. Please, you've taken our money for all these years. Won't you do the right thing with us? Please won't you do the right thing? What kind of business needs that? Insurance companies need that. You know, your good neighbor who has you in good hands because they're on your side. How much is it going to save you if you save 15% or more on your insurance and then they won't pay up on a claim? 20-day right to cure. This is getting embarrassing. How much do they despise us? How much do they despise the people who get up and go to work every day and make West Virginia go? And what's next? A 20-day right to cure on workers' compensation? My God. Wake up. See what's being done to you. Demand that they be consumer-friendly, that they be working people-friendly. Or are you going to sit there and just take it? Do you see why this stinks? Do you remember the bill that's, I don't know what happened to it. It came roaring out of the House. where an employer would have the right to say anything about you they wanted to, and false or not, and you could sue them for it, couldn't sue them for it anymore? That immunity bill, do you remember that? How thoroughly do they despise us? Or how stupid do they think we are? Because once again, you got to remember, you know, we talk about it on this show, probably not talked a lot about anywhere else. Do you like it? Are you going to sit there with that foolish look on your face of the dog that's gotten used to being kicked and doesn't even flinch anymore, just expects it? Or can you muster up a good network and, you know, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore? Or would that not be polite? I mean, we know how the Republicans feel about this. You can't do enough good for a business to sue a Republican. You can't take enough rights away from working people to sue a Republican. I'm talking to the Democrats. I'm talking to the people who believe in working people. Are you willing to sit still for all of this? I'm fast approaching my repentance point. How about you? Are you tired of these people running over you? You know, I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me, and I'm sick and tired of it. It's time for a break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
We don't need your education. We don't need no thought control. No dark sarcasm in the classroom.
Eric Stafford, pastor of Worship and Arts Ministries at Family Worship Center, located at 224 Pinewood Drive in Beckley. This Good Friday, March 25th, and Saturday, March 26th, our Worship and Arts Ministries will present the third annual presentation of Behold Him. This year, we present the wonderful story of Jesus told through the eyes of Simon Peter. You will not want to miss this dramatic musical presentation with choir, a full cast, new sets, animals, and much more. Come be a part of this visual, dramatic experience. Tickets are available by calling 252-8474 or by coming by the church office Monday through Thursday. Tickets can also be obtained at our Sunday morning services, which begin at 10 a.m. Doors will open to ticketed guests at 6 p.m. and to non-ticketed guests at 6:30 p.m. So be sure and get your tickets for the best available seating. Come and celebrate the victory that is Jesus and behold Him. Good Friday, March 25th and Saturday, March 26th at the Church of God Family Worship Center.
Hi, this is Linda Luger, Executive Director of the United Way of Southern West Virginia. Thanks to all the United Way volunteers for the assistance they provided during the United Way 2004 campaign. Without them, we would not be able to provide the support necessary for our 20 nonprofit agencies that help those who are unable to help themselves. Due to the time spent by volunteers attending meetings, making presentations, making phone calls, asking for contributions, helping with the planning and staging of campaign events, taking time from a busy schedule to film or record a TV or radio spot, and numerous other activities, we have had a successful campaign. Without the time and effort provided by these caring individuals in Raleigh, Nicholas, Fayette, and Summers counties, this would not have been possible. Thumbs up, hats off, and thanks. Because of you, the United Way of Southern West Virginia continues to make a lasting impression on our community. If you would like to be a United Way volunteer, please contact me at 253-2111.
Trinity Christian Academy is dedicated to educating the whole child. Trinity Christian Academy has loving, caring teachers who are trained to challenge students to attain academic excellence. With pre-K through 8th grade in a great new facility on Pinewood Drive in Beckley, Trinity Christian Academy is a great place for your child. Call today for information at 254-9600. Trinity Christian Academy, 224 Pinewood Drive, just above the Bank of Mount Hope in Beckley. Call Trinity Christian Academy today at 254-9600.
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. Head on with Bob Kincaid.
We're back, almost 20 minutes after 8 o'clock, straight to the phones. 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. They're kind of tied up right now. Wayne is with us. Hey, Wayne, you're head on.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
Listen, here's what Governor Joe needs to do.
Okay.
He needs to call President Bush and tell him we need all our West Virginia troops back here.
Yeah.
Because we're taking the, well, we're taking our property back.
Amen.
And I don't know. Let me see. When countries do it, they call it nationalizing.
Mm-hmm.
I get we'll statalize it or something. I don't know. Okay?
Yeah.
Blankenship, consul, whoever, you're out of here. Leave your equipment, you know.
Yeah.
And then we'll find somebody who wants to treat us right, treat the people right, hire the United Mine Workers, the good union United Mine Workers that are standing outside of the mine down the river here.
Yep.
What are these people?
Yeah, the guys who know how to mine the coal safely.
Exactly. The guys that have, the guys that if it weren't for those guys, all the non-union coal miners who are making $20 an hour would be getting six if it wasn't for their United Mine Worker brothers.
Yeah, and
what they ought to do is turn around and start supporting the people who have put them in a position to get the money they're getting.
Well, that's true. And that six they'd be getting it in scrip, Wayne.
That's exactly right.
But
and then when you went to the store, they'd tell you it's only worth 75% of what it says.
Bingo.
Right.
And I kid about, that was a reality in West Virginia. There's a lot of people we've got scrip laying around the house.
Oh, yes, there was.
And if
there's a lot of people, that don't believe that?
Yeah, or, it wasn't as bad as what they say. What happens. That's what happens when the older generation marches on.
That's easy to say, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's why there's chicken hawks,
Right.
Easy to send people to war when you've never been there.
Right.
Exactly.
When you've never heard a shot fired in anger.
Exactly.
I feel bad about this, Wayne. I don't want to be hammering on Joe. But doggone,
I'm not hammering. I'm not hammering on him yet. What are you going to do?
Well, I mean,
this just came out. Is tomorrow he going to tell Don Blankenship and the rest of these people he's bringing back the National Guard or back off?
Yeah, but I mean, the right to cure, the third party bad faith, the slander, the blacklist bill. These are things that all came out of his office, Wayne.
Bob, they're starting to add up, ain't they, buddy?
Yeah, in a hurry.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to get you in trouble or me in trouble or anything.
I'm not in trouble. I'm a free American.
Well,
you're getting me in trouble for what I believe.
I mean, that's kind of the way I feel about it. But, doggone it. Stand up for the middle class before it disappears. I'm not into being an endangered species.
Neither am I. Nor an indentured servant.
Right. It doesn't go down real well.
No, it doesn't.
So, you know, I mean,
I don't know. You know, I mean, it's disappointing, but I think that, well, I don't know. They're just, all these politicians are going nuts. I mean, what, you know, like this, the feds and this poor woman. I mean, my God, what fools they've made of themselves.
I don't know if you, maybe you didn't hear the top of the hour news. What Jim had mentioned is absolutely true.
I watched it.
Yeah, the right wing is really getting upset. And Jebby has come out and he said, well, you got to remember, there's 90,000 abortions in this state every year.
Yeah,
you know, he's trying to get their little bat wings extended again, so they can flap them up and jump up and down some more.
All I could say is they're self-destructing a heck of a lot quicker than I imagined.
But they're certainly going according to your plan.
Oh, Jesus, it's frightening. These are scary people, you know. And you know how long we fought. I mean, we're going to give these coal companies back money. The same coal companies that put our workers' compensation program in the position that it's in. And now we've agreed to pay them back for that.
Well, I mean,
you know,
yeah.
So now we're going to give them back their taxes?
Well, I mean, do you disagree with my analysis? I mean, Albright and Starcher will vote against it. You can predict that with almost 100% certainty, right?
Yes.
And you can expect Blankenship and Spikey to vote for it.
Well, and Robin is the secret.
Yeah.
But see, I have to believe that I haven't agreed with every opinion of Robin Davis, that's
mm-hmm.
for sure. But I have to have faith that she's going to make the right decision on this one. I don't know how anybody could live with himself if they didn't. Spike Maynard's, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, there's no hope there.
Yeah, he is. He,
none whatsoever.
He is what he is, and we know what he is.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean.
Is Blankenship's boy going to recuse himself?
Well, see, I predict that he won't, because since Consol and Arch is involved with it, it's industry-wide, so that doesn't mean he'd be doing any special favors for Massey.
Yeah, but
that's how he gets out of recusing himself.
Yeah, but Consol and them people can't do anything unless they talk to the, you know.
Yeah.
Don Corleone.
Kiss the ring.
Yeah, he'd say, yeah, or, you know, what do you need, you know?
Well, I don't expect him to. That would require entirely too much ethics for that
and integrity and
little,
things like that.
Yeah, stuff that man's never been within a city block of.
You got it there.
Yeah.
You got it there.
So, you know, I don't. And you know, this is the Supreme Court we're talking about, Wayne. If he says, I'm not going to recuse myself,
yeah,
he ain't got to recuse himself, and nobody can make him.
No, that's exactly right. But that's right. See, we don't need him. I you know, Robin Davis is going to do the right thing on this one.
I pray
that's
you're right.
That's my prediction. But let me go to something else here.
Sure.
Before I take up. First of all, I want to thank Mel and Ed for their kind words.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people are aware of the strike that's going on in Raynell.
Yeah.
That's it was Georgia Pacific. It's no longer Georgia Pacific. Another company has bought it out. I don't know. It's really sketchy, some of the details and stuff. It's over health care.
Yeah.
Like every other union strike is these days.
Yeah, their health, and just so people will understand, Wayne, their health care went from what, $50 a month to $800?
$88 to $750.
Okay. Well, you know, close enough.
Yeah, well, I don't want you exaggerating like that, though, Bob. No, we won't have any credibility, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, no, yeah, $50.
it's amazing, you know. But,
because guys that work in lumber mills, they don't need health insurance or anything, do they?
No. Listen, the guys, they make $10.50 an hour. I've met these men. They're, you know, they're good men. They're working there because they could have health insurance for their family. That's why they're working there.
Right.
And at the same time, realize that I got to do this 40 hours a week, but I also have to do something else to make money.
Right.
Whether they're raising beef or, you know, what I mean.
Yeah, I do.
And so that's why they're working there. And they're trying to take it away from them. So we are, those are what they call, These guys belong to the carpenters, but it's the industrial carpenters. They're called the East Coast Industrial Council.
Okay.
You know, they work in mills or factories, or they're not building construction carpenters like we are.
Right.
But anyway, our local in Beckley is 1911. That's Building Trades Local that I belong to. I'm trying to think. Monday, I believe it was. The Carpenters 1911 gave $5,000. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters, which covers West Virginia, Virginia, D.C., and Maryland, gave $5,000. And the State Council of West Virginia gave $5,000. So the construction carpenters gave the mill carpenters $15,000 to help them get through this period. And we backed them 100%.
And that was a wonderful thing to do. And it's the way organized labor is supposed to work.
That is the way it's supposed to work.
You stand by your brothers and sisters who are in need.
Yes. That's exactly right.
All praise and all good thoughts and reverence go toward the local and the organizations that you mentioned for doing that kind of thing, because there's an element in there, Wayne, of you never know when it's going to be you.
Well, yeah, Bob, I've heard you say it on here a couple times, and I can't quote it, but you know, then they came from me, but there wasn't anybody to stand up because
everybody
stood up before.
Yeah, everybody was already gone.
Yeah, and I stood there and watched them take them. So who's to fault for this? Who shall I blame?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I'm so glad that. They've been on strike how long now? A couple of weeks,
I guess. You know, it's a purely union. It's
union busting.
Yeah, it is union busting. It's some kind of thing like happened down at Cannleton.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Georgia Pacific owned this thing forever. Well, all of a sudden, Georgia Pacific decides they're out of the lumber business. And so they sell it to two guys from Virginia that are the Lloyds. They're in the logging and trucking.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy, I wished I had his name in front of me. It starts with a Z. This guy used to be head of economic development in Virginia. Anyway, so they bought this mill. And the union didn't have a successor clause.
Right.
You know, so the new owners don't have to honor the it's some kind of scam like they did with Massey.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you exactly what it is.
But it's dirty.
It's walking
like a duck. It's quacking like a duck.
Creative bookkeeping and finance, you know.
No,
you know,
not that.
Some kind of game.
Yeah.
And you know, it's so on. But so... If you could get, you bust the union, if that union were to get busted, watch how fast, amazingly, Georgia Pacific ends up with the thing again.
Oh, sure, and they'll hire the non-union guys on at $12
right.
an hour instead of $10.15, but there won't be any health benefits.
Exactly.
For these guys who are playing around saws.
Yeah. Yeah, that's dangerous business. And cutting them down,
yeah.
You know, they, oh, yeah, man. You can't stand under them, you understand.
Yeah, I know. That's what I hear. Wayne, we got to roll, man.
All right, brother.
Later.
All right, man. Bye.
Bye. And more of your calls when we come back, I promise. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
WWNR, Beckley.
Are you smart enough to be a banker with the U.S. government's Export-Import Bank? Here's a test. Would you loan $5 billion of U.S. taxpayers' money to a British-owned company so that it can make a profit by selling U.S. nuclear technology to China, which in turn is likely to copy that technology and become the world leader in manufacturing it? If that sounds like a good use of U.S. tax funds to you, then you've got a bright future at the Export-Import Bank, my friend. Indeed, this is an actual loan approved by the geniuses at this bank, a bank that is supposed to help American companies increase their exports ostensibly to create U.S. jobs. You can argue, as I have, that few good jobs ever are created and that the bank is little more than a corporate welfare fund, financing projects that giant corporations can and should finance themselves. But, excuse my chauvinism here, at least such subsidies should go to American corporations. This one appears to do that, for the $5 billion loan technically would go to Westinghouse Electric to build four huge nuclear reactors in China. However, this division of Westinghouse was bought in 1998 by BNFL, owned by the British government. So our tax dollars are being used to protect the investment of Brits, and any profits from the deal go to them. But wait, says the bank, this is about U.S. jobs, for some of the components of these reactors will be made in the good old U.S. of A. They claim that 5,000 American jobs are involved. Okay, time for another test. $5 billion divided by 5,000 jobs is what? That's $1 million per job. This is Jim Hightower saying, actually, this deal will cost us jobs, for the Chinese government says it fully intends to take over the manufacture of the American components BNFL is selling to them. If this makes sense to you, rush your resume to the Export-Import Bank today.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
Shining a liberal light in the conservative darkness, Bob Kincaid, head on.
Welcome back. About 23 minutes and change before 9 o'clock, about an hour before tip-off. I'm sorry, I'm very excited about this. I feel like we've got a better chance with Texas Tech tonight, the Mountaineers, than we did in 1997 against Utah. And we came awfully close with them. Okay.
Let's go, Mountaineers.
Okay, I'm all better now. Let's go to the phones, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Go ahead and get in line. We got a line open. Mary Lou is with us. Hey, Mary Lou, you're head on.
Hey, how are you, Bob?
I'm pretty good.
I'm doing good, too. Listen, I agree with Wayne on what he says about the union. I back him 100% because my grandpa's 97, and he was a union coal miner, and he contributed his long life to working in the mines when the loading machine was the shovel. Dang. And the doctor says he has the heart as good as a 50-year-old man. It's just he don't have no hearing.
Well, it was a little noisy down there, wasn't it?
Yes, he said it was. And he has selective hearing, and you can say one thing and he'll say something completely off the wall. But, I mean, his mind's good. He just can't hear. And he's had hearing aid after hearing aid. But WVU will not win that. I hope they do. I wish they would.
Oh, don't bust my bubble, Mary Lou.
Huh?
Don't bust my bubble.
No, Bob. Now, B-Line is not go outsmart Bobby Knight.
Oh, I think, the coaches don't play the game. The players play the game.
Bob, that's the whole key to it, is the coach. That's why New England won. They had the top coaches in the...
Well, where Belichick's concerned, I'll concede. But Bobby Knight is beatable because I think we've got the better players. We've certainly got the better outside shooters.
No, we got lucky against Wake Forest on them 2 points, Bob.
Oh.
We just got. I mean, I love WVU. I'll be rooting for them here in 30 minutes. But they will never beat Texas. No.
Never say never, Mary Lou.
Well, now, you know, you might be right. But now I called up to really talk about Wayne. I really like Judge Sarger, and I like Judge Robin Davis. And I do think that they will stick together on that. I really do. I think Wayne is worried about something. I don't think that will ever go through, and I think that...
Well, I think Wayne's less worried than I am. I'm scared to death about Robin Davis.
No.
I
know both of them.
Mary Lou, I got to tell you, I've seen her decisions, and she has gone the wrong way on about a million different issues.
Not that she won't on this, Bob.
Well, if she does, I mean, she's voting to bankrupt the state.
She won't. She'll stick with Larry, Judge Sarger.
I hope so, because, I mean, you know Albright and Sarger will stick together. Because
yes.
Joe Albright's rock solid, too.
Yes. But now, I have a lot of faith in Judge Sarger, and I think that Judge Davis will stick with him. I really do. And I know them both, and I think that's what will happen. But now... you listen to what I say, Bob. We will never win that game tonight.
No.
Because, no, we're going to panic, Bob. We're new in the game.
You know, if they were going to panic, that was the Wake Forest game was the place to panic.
No, they got lucky, Bob. They got lucky.
111 points and Mike Gainsey 29 points in 20 minutes? That ain't luck, Mary Lou.
Bob, that's not going to happen tonight.
That's
not going to happen tonight, not against Bobby Knight.
Well, if he shuts down...
No, I don't know much about that uptown, downtown ball that my only a few talks about that he keeps up with all that stuff. But I know enough about Bobby Knight and Indiana and what he done for them. Beyond, it's just not going to happen, Bob.
Well, I hope you're wrong, Mary Lou.
Well, I'm going to root for WBU because I'm a mountaineer myself.
Right.
But, we'll see.
But I mean, you're right.
We'll
he's, you know, he's a living legend. Bob Knight is. There's no doubt about that.
Oh yes, yes.
He got all foul mouthed in the.
Yes, that's why they got rid of him.
Well, no, he did it just at the news conference yesterday.
Yes, I know.
Nasty word this and nasty word that.
Bob, I saw the news conference.
But I know why he does it, Mary Lou. I know why he does it.
Well, hey, you do know he's a mountaineer too.
But the point here, Bob Knight does that because it takes all the focus and all the attention and all the nervousness
off of
his team.
Yeah.
And refocuses it on him.
Yes.
And it's an attempt to make the game to make his players have their own better focus
for the
game.
The confidence that they need to win.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's why he does. But now you also know that he is from West Virginia and he was born in West Virginia.
Where was he born, Mary Lou?
Where was it? It's in the southern part, a little country town, almost down there in McDowell County.
I didn't realize that.
Yes, sir. He is a mountaineer. And
I
saw the news conference when they said that, you know, West Virginia beat Wake Forest.
Mm-hmm.
And he laughed. He knew that luck was on his side. He knew. I just knew that he could take him. Now you wait and see, Bob.
Well, I'll be mighty aggrieved if we lose. But I mean,
he runs a fast game, Bob.
But we've proven we can run, Mary Lou. We can definitely run.
Yeah, but he can wear him down, Bob.
I don't know. I think we got the better bench. I think we got the better bench and the better players.
Well, I'll go ahead and agree with you, and I hope you're right. And I hope WVU wins, too. But I won't be surprised if Texas...
Well, I'll be happy that we got as far as we did because it'll be very, very good for recruiting.
Yes, yes, we'll get some good players. We'll get some good players. And after all, this will be our first year back in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
So it'll be...
And good. we only lose one off that primary squad... graduation. That's Tyrone Sally. The rest of them, there's no one more than a junior, unless I'm mistaken.
Yes, that's what my whole nephew was saying, but I told him, I said, don't get your hopes up.
Oh, now. let him have his dreams, Mary Lou.
I do, and I really give him, of course, he knows football better than he knows the basketball, but I told him, I said, I've been to Indiana too many times, I've heard Bobby Knight talk, you can't beat him, you know. But we'll see, Bob. But anyway, I just wanted Wayne to know that I agree with him. I back the union 100%, and my grandpa wanted me to tell them.
Well, thank you very much, Mary Lou. You take care.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye now. And you know, I mean, come on, Bob Knight can be beaten. He got beaten, what, 10 times this year? He was almost an identical record with us. I mean, the things worked out rather interestingly as far as the brackets are concerned. Let's see, back to the phones or continue with the phones. Gary is with us. Hey, Gary, you're head on.
Mr. Kincaid, sir, hello.
How are you?
You know, you and I have had a truce for a while, but tonight I've called up to more or less take you on.
What have I done?
Well, you denigrated the actions of our duly elected lawmakers, and I'm here to defend them.
You've been down in the basement, haven't you?
Are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Bob, tongue splitting is bad.
Okay.
That's my defense.
Tongue splitting bad.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, well, what a spirited defense that was, Gary.
Well, I'm sorry, but if you ain't got nothing to work with, what are you going to do?
Oh, and you don't. I mean, this is trying to make gold out of straw, or bricks without straw, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, I'll tell you, Bob, everything that you said tonight, then I listened to Jim Hightower, and I've listened to Wayne, and everybody else, you're all speaking about the same thing, in my opinion, and it's worked called fascism.
Yeah.
It's when the government and business get into bed together, and you can't hardly tell them from one another. I mean, we might as well just let the CEOs just go up there and write all the legislation.
You mean they're not already?
Well, they are. Absolutely they are. And they have been for a long, long time.
I mean,
now it's just getting like they don't care if we know it or not.
I'm really not being facetious here, Gary. Has one single pro-consumer bill been introduced in this entire session? One. Has one.
Well, everything I see, either it's idiotic, like this tongue-splitting bill, or it's repressive, like this primary seatbelt offense thing. Or it's just something that's just a outright anti-West Virginia citizen, really.
Yeah.
It's one thing after another, just incrementalism. And I don't know what to say about it. And the thing gets me here is, I got to spell this word, G-U-F-F-A-W, because if I did that in the phone, you'd hang up on me.
Yeah, I understand.
Joe Manchin. What in the world? I mean, I thought this guy was your man.
Well, no. I mean, he was the guy who was running against the idiot in last November. I mean, I'm not trying to be hard, but I mean, I gave everybody a fair shot in the primary, and I voted for the guy who I thought was right for the job.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, this is just surprising you. I mean, it's more than...
Well, no, I knew he was conservative, okay? I mean, this isn't my first trip to the barn dance. You know, I knew he was pro-life.
Well, I wouldn't even call this conservative, Bob. I just call this just absolutely fascistic and pro-business. Totally pro-business.
But
from what I've seen so far.
I was hoping somewhere along the way someone would kind of pull him aside and say, you know, you can't give everything to big business all at once. You gotta at least make them work for it or they won't respect you in the morning.
Well, exactly. I don't know, it's kind of sad, but it's just the same old, same old. I'd like to talk to you about 4 years from now, see if we got anything different to say. We might just be seeing the same old thing.
Well, I said, with all this anti-consumer stuff going on, I fear that he's doing his dead level best to be a West Virginia's second straight single-term Democrat governor.
Well, have you heard about the Manchin Underwood Research Project?
No. I don't know if I want to.
Well, we're trying to find out if about the time Joe Manchin was born, Underwood had a job as a milkman.
Oh, God, you're awful.
Think about it.
Oh, I don't want to. I just don't want to.
Well, I tell you, I mean, what's coming out of Charleston, and I'm a conservative and everything, but it's more like what a Republican would put through that, you know, Underwood do than Joe Manchin, isn't it?
In many ways, it is. But again, he sent the bills down there. The legislature is like this third party bad faith and all of it. The legislature didn't have to bow down and say, you know, salam. You know, this is the most servile, Gary, that I have ever seen the West Virginia legislature be.
Well, I thought that was really a good observation, how they you have to give notices to business now. What did you call that?
It's called a right to cure.
Yeah, and that really is a slick trick they're pulling there, because what you illustrated is exactly what's going to happen. You're going to try to sue them, but find out you don't have the time to do it.
Yeah.
And another little trick that's often used in West Virginia is people file lawsuits at the very last minute, so you can't counter sue.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I've even had that done to me.
Well, no, you can always counterclaim against the other guy, but no, there are some nuances there. You're absolutely right, Gary. But there's just too many ways for all this stuff to go way too wrong.
Well, there's going to come a day and a time, and another generation will come through, and they'll fight the good fight. Now they'll right it all. But, I mean, right now, the people that we have in West Virginia, they're just too busy.
Staying
alive.
I don't
know what they're doing. But
staying
they're not
alive.
Paying attention to what's going on.
They're too busy treading water and trying to keep their chin above their chin above the waves.
Well, I think there's a lot to that, because, you know, I'll tell you what, a person that works all the time, and especially so many people nowadays are working two jobs, working overtime and everything else, you don't have time to what's going on around you. Really, you don't even know what's going on in your own neighborhood, much less what's going on at a state level or a national level.
Yeah, and to be honest, you know, if you've got the time, there's that legislative report on West Virginia Public Television every night.
Uh-huh.
You know what? 1 in 500 West Virginians knows it's there.
It's rather depressing.
You know,
if you try to
watch anything on the mainstream, and then they try. I understand they try, but the main, you know, the local TV station, 6 o'clock and 11 o'clock news. You know, you might get one story about the legislature, and it'll be followed by, you know, up next. There's a lady on eBay selling the pan that she fried the cheese sandwich with Jesus' face in it. I'm not kidding. It happened.
I know.
It happened.
But, you know, that's what, you know, look at our media in America, though. I mean, it's a big business. I mean, even all your local newspapers
have
all been bought out. I mean, there's nothing hardly local anymore.
Oh, we're getting the big business all right, Gary.
Well, that's a good word, business, yeah.
And here I am, you know, just this poor little dude, you know, almost spanning the block on 25 powerful watts, and nobody else is talking about this.
Well, it's an anomaly. I don't understand why. You know, the people of America, I think, have changed, because there used to be a time they grabbed pitchforks over, you know, a 1% tax, go after the tax collector.
You know, these people that just sit passively by and watch television, you know, I was reading the other day a little bit about the Whiskey Rebellion.
Yeah.
You're familiar with that, right?
Yeah.
That was an attempt to tax moonshine whiskey, and the very young republic was almost torn asunder over it. Before, you know, we were almost the young republic was almost killed in the cradle.
Yeah,
because people, you know, and we're talking about people in western Pennsylvania and what is now northern West Virginia. They were ready to kill people over it.
Yeah. Well, people were killed over it.
And, you know, this is their multi-great-grandchildren sitting around saying, I don't need that constitutional right no more. I'll get rid of that one. You know, the blood gets thin, I guess, Gary.
Well, if we look at the rate of taxation in colonial America, you know, pre-revolutionary colonial America, as opposed to now, I mean, they wanted to fight over what we would consider a total triviality.
Yeah.
I mean, their total taxes were back in, what, 2% or whatever? I mean, they were hardly nothing.
Well, I mean, there was no income tax.
Yeah. Would they have a tax on stamps?
Yeah, well, the Stamp Act, you know, on real estate transactions, import-export duties, that kind of
thing.
Yeah,
that was enough to go to war back then.
Yeah. Today, there's a race on. I don't have time.
Well, you know, I mean, when I say that, I figure that the average American is paying 50% of what they make out in taxes. Do you think I'm off base?
No, I don't, because it's not in the income tax. It's not in FICA. Okay.
It's just a thousand little cuts.
Yeah, well, it's in other states. We haven't quite wised up enough yet. But you know, you see it in other states. It's called a usage fee or a service fee. And they're starting to try it up in the Eastern Panhandle with the sprawl they're dealing with.
Yeah.
So, you know, as long as you don't call it a tax, you know, I look at it differently, Gary. You know, I figure I'm an American. I'm a West Virginian. I love my country. I'm a proud supporter of it. And that's going to, you know, there ain't no such thing as a free lunch. I'm not going to get this for free.
Well, you know that, Bob, because you got a budget to make every month. You got to feed your family.
Yeah, just don't rip me off.
Well,
you know, don't tell me you're going to increase the coal severance tax, then pass it on to me, then take $45 million out of general revenue to support that bond issue that my kids are going to pay for, and then turn around and just say, well, I'll be damned. Would you look at that? They want their taxes rebated.
Yeah.
I mean, there are guys in the New York subway that don't have this kind of brass, and they're dealing three-card Monty.
Well, the thing about it is, let me ask you a question. How do you change it? How do you get these guys out of office? And I know you can't answer that, but the fact of the matter is, they know they're more or less immune.
No, you don't have to get them out of office, Gary. I'll tell you honestly, you do not have to get them out of office. You have to make yourself heard. And as long as squeaky wheel gets the grease, man, you know that.
Yeah.
And as long as we're not squeaking, we ain't getting greased.
Well, that's for sure.
You know, there is one, as far as ordinary, if you can use that word, just West Virginia citizens groups. I mean, there's the Citizens Action Group out there. We got our buddies at Coal River Mountain Watch. There's Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition.
All right, Bob, I mean,
blah, 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 blah. You know who gets greased?
The big corporation?
No. There's a citizens group. And they are, and there is a tighter death grip on the legislature by this citizens group than any corporation or any other group of West Virginians, Gary.
You're going to say the pro-life lobby.
West Virginia Citizens for Life, and they will get behind anything the corporations tell them to do, as long as they say, and we're going to get rid of abortion while we're at it. Now, I know that's a sore spot for you, but, I mean, you've at least, you know, the shades have been drawn. You
well,
understand
they're just being played for chumps.
Yeah.
Because it's like you illustrated a while back. I mean, they could have changed that a long time ago if they really wanted to, but they don't want to because it'd be getting rid of an issue.
And again, this is a chance to see the wheels come off a little bit because, you know, Joe's going to sign this Lacey Peterson bill if he hasn't already.
Yeah.
And you do realize that creates an entirely separate class of legal rights for an entirely new class of individual, right? The baby in the womb. I don't care if it's an embryo or a blastocyst or
but I thought that abortion was specifically protected under that bill.
Well, no. That's not the point here. That's what I'm saying. You're going to get a chance to see the wheels come off because there's a lot of mighty smart lawyers in this state.
Uh-huh.
And they've just created a new class of rights for a new class of citizens.
Well, the law of unintended consequences.
Bingo.
Kick in.
So what happens when mommy gets in the car wreck? She missed her period the day before. She's pregnant. And she goes to the hospital, and her period starts.
Yeah.
Now, nobody's committed murder. That's clear under the statute. But it is not clear that a civil wrong has been committed. That is a wrongful death suit. That little tiny two or three cells of tissue.
Well, Bob, that's why we've got a jury system. You know? We just let the jury decide that stuff.
Well, but
I just think you're going out on a limb with that.
No, I'm not. The insurance company, no, that claim will be made. I promise you.
Well, it probably will be made, but I mean, there's no end to the frivolous claims that are made.
No. Wait, it's not a frivolous claim anymore, Gary. You got to follow it through to its logical conclusion, because it's going to have to go up to the Supreme Court, where pro-life Brent Benjamin is going to be forced to either rule with the insurance companies who write his check or the pro-life people who pull his knob. Okay.
He'll be in a real quandary, won't he?
Now, what's he going to rule? That the insurance companies get off because it's not a real, live, honest-to-God baby? Or is he going to rule with the pro-lifers that it's a real, live, honest-to-God baby and the insurance company has to crank out 100 large for three cells?
Well, maybe his brain will explode and we'll be done with him, right?
Yeah, but I mean, you do see what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's not nearly as crazy as you might think it is.
Well, when it comes to lawyers, I think
the insurance companies will be getting what they deserve.
Well, you and me both.
Because they were quiet on this, but they too. But see, that tells you how frightening everybody is of these right wing the womb Nazis.
But you know, Bob, it's just not the right wing. We can see that.
No, but it's these womb Nazis. Everybody's scared to death of them, Gary.
I mean, we've got your man up there in the governor's office, and this still goes on. I mean. And, you know, we're just not going to agree on this abortion issue, period. I mean, and that's one reason I never bring it up, because we're just never going to agree on it. But as far as some of these other issues are concerned, which I find myself basically in total agreement with you.
Well, just watch them. We are going to see them have to take the rubber mask off sooner or later.
Yeah, well.
I mean, the howling is going on. They are ready to do the pitchforks and torches thing on the governor's mansion in Florida right now because Jeb Bush didn't do enough for Terry Schiavo. It's all over the news right now.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because, you know, depending on what talk show you listen to, you get a totally different perspective. Now, I listened to Michael Savage the other night. There was a doctor on there and a nurse. This doctor had spent a total of 10 hours with her, and this nurse had taken care of her for quite some period of time.
Oh, I heard that. The murder allegation?
There's an allegation that she was, for one thing, she was going to ask him for a divorce, and the next day she turns up all messed up like this.
Do you not think that that would have been brought up in front of any of the 30 judges that have heard this so far?
Well, I'm wondering. It's just like we're not getting a full story on it. But there's one thing that's pretty clear, from what I hear anyway. This guy stands to collect a lot of money if she dies.
No. The lawsuit money's already gone, Gary.
No, I'm talking about insurance money.
There's no insurance policy.
There is no insurance. Okay. I haven't been able to follow it. I mean, I can't argue what I'm not really sure about.
These right-wingers have just made it up as they go along. We're out of time, though, Gary. Thanks so much for the conversation. A lot of great points. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Bob.
Later.
Bye.
Okay, break time, and when we come back, more of your calls to 252-6200 outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Of broadcasting history.
You can depend on us.
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 9 o'clock.
Here's Bob Kincaid, Head On.
Welcome back. 5 minutes after 9 o'clock, the final, 54 minutes and change of tonight's edition of Head On. And 34 minutes until tip-off. Let's go Mountaineers. Got to get the good juju going. It's going to happen. The phone number is 252. We finally got a couple open lines. 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967 if you want to go ahead and get in on the conversation. Jeff is back with us. Hey, Jeff, you're Head On. Yeah, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great.
Louisville's up on Washington by about 10 points.
Are they? Well, I kind of had that going down.
They're 11 out of 26 for threes.
I had Louisville going to the eighth.
You have Louisville winning?
Yeah.
I'd rather see Louisville than Washington if West Virginia can win.
Yeah, Rick Pitino, are you kidding?
I'd rather play a four seed than a one.
Well, yeah, but I don't know. I don't know how much of that is the fact that Louisville plays in a less respected conference than the Pac-10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe because, not, but because, that Pac-10 is tough. Those are big teams, big, tall teams.
Yeah, Washington was, there was a lot of belly aching about Washington being a number one seed.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they weren't getting if anybody got a cakewalk out of that whole bracket, it was Illinois.
Bob Knight's reputation, his bark's a lot louder than his bite anymore.
I think he's still trying to build there at Texas Tech.
He's a great coach. This ain't a great team. I looked at their schedule. They've lost six or seven ball games by more than 20 points and a couple by 30. When they play Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, when they play good teams, they lose. I've looked at their schedule.
Well,
I know.
They just squeaked by Gonzaga, didn't they?
Yeah.
And the only thing interesting out of that is the fact that Gonzaga played a 1-3-1-2. You know, same defense we do, but we play it very, very much differently than they do.
I've got this Cole severance tax scheme figured out.
Okay,
what's going to happen.
Okay.
If they win this, guess what?
We're not going to actually pay them any money. We're going to rebate it to them in the form of a rebate scheme over the course of years.
If you're the coal company, you're going to say, I'm exporting all my coal.
Yeah, we're not burning any of it here.
And the coal that we do burn here, we're going to bring it from Virginia and Kentucky. You know, that's exactly what they'll do.
Sometimes I feel like I need to move to the side when I feel compelled to agree with you, but that's entirely.
Now, how many showers is that? You need another shower, man.
No. This is just I'm waiting for the lightning bolt.
See what Joe Manchin needs to do. If I was him, I'd tell them. I'd hold the same little meeting when they was crying about them raising their severance tax to pay for their comp.
Yeah.
Remember they said, oh, please have this meeting with us. We've got to plead to you this one more time, please. You know, remember when they had them all down?
Oh, yeah.
And Joe told them no. Joe needs to tell them, I need to talk to you.
Yeah, you need to just drop this little suit.
Or, this is going to, you win this suit. You might win this suit. But this is going to be a revenue neutral win for you, or you're going to lose. Because you've already established the fact that you can do business in West Virginia paying the severance tax on all the coal that you're doing, that you're mining. You're making it paying this rate.
Because
we're going to watch and see how much of your coal you export. And whatever you get out of on the export of coal, we're tacking it on this other. You're not going to come out ahead. You're paying whatever you paid this year is what you're paying next year. You're either going to pay 10% on half the coal or 5% on all of it.
Yeah, just look at it and say, you know the tax scheme that we have set up with the Greyhound tracks where we get half and they get half?
Yeah.
That's what you're looking at.
He needs to come down hard on them.
Well,
and if he does, if he goes along with them and lets them buy with this, he's not a Democrat.
Well, Jeff, time out. There's a couple of things you got to consider here. He can come down on them, but they can come down on him.
How?
Do you remember the first guy ever to propose a coal severance tax at all?
He
was a one-term governor.
Garland?
I believe so, yeah.
William J. Garland?
I think so. 1950s.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he came in and he had the legislature going like a steam locomotive with the boilers at full steam. And then he proposed that severance tax and he was never heard from again.
But for Joe not to, how could another Democrat win the nominee over Joe, a sitting Democrat? There's no way that can happen. It's going to be Joe versus Rob Capehart next time.
Well, that may be. I
who would you vote for in that race?
Boy, that'd be a tough one. I have my immortal soul to worry about, Jeff.
You've got relatives in graves.
Yeah. And, you know, I love them, and I want them to stay where they are. But really, there are a thousand things that stand to be considered here. I think he needs to tell them that they need to drop it now. Yeah.
That's pushing your luck. I mean, they already got, you know.
No, you bring them in and you say, fellas, drop the suit or, you know, hell is going to open up and swallow you whole.
We're going to lay it on you. The coal is here. The coal's not in Mexico. The coal is here.
Yeah.
You know, and plus.
You know, you can quit. You can swear you're going to go out of business and leave the state.
Prove it.
Well, you can't take the coal with you.
And, you know, and we're talking about tax exempting border counties. And showing favoritism in how we tax people, I'd tell them that if you leave, we're going to come up with this new law that says that all coal that's in the ground that's not being mined
is deemed abandoned.
We just took it. You just forfeited it.
Yeah,
or you're going to pay the value of the coal in tax every year.
Well, see, Jeff, there's another little secret here, too. You're right. They've proven they can do this, and they've proven they can deal with these severance taxes without a problem whatsoever, because have you noticed? They're hiring. They're begging people to work for them.
We just give them over $1 billion on that comp bill, just over the whole thing.
Yeah, and they are begging people to come to work for them.
The coal's booming. Coal really is booming.
And the permitting process, Stephanie Timmermeyer down here at DEP, she can't crank permits out fast enough. It used to be if you were on the listserv and you got the emails for the new permits that were applied for,
yeah,
you know, you'd see one here, maybe one or two a week. Man, they're coming three and four a day now.
Plus, this legislation, this what we have now, seems like that the delegates and the senators kind of concoct these bills and submit them to the governor. But we have this governor telling them what he wants.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
He submits them bills.
This is, well, I mean, that's a governor's job. He submits an agenda. I mean, he is supposed to give guidance to the legislative branch.
It seems like he tells them what, I want this and this, and we're going to do it like this. And
yeah.
They all go, okay, yeah.
They're being downright servile, and every bill that it seems like every bill he gives them is some sort of legislative ex-lax because it shoots right through it. Looks the same coming out as it was going in. Hasn't even been amended.
I've never seen a bill ramrodded like that comp bill.
Well, no. Look at the third-party bad faith bill. They tried to amend it a couple of times. They tried to fix it, make it a little consumer-friendly. You know, throw a scrap of bread to you and me. Nope.
You got anybody waiting?
Yeah, I do.
Let them have some time.
All right, go keep an eye on Washington and Louisville.
Okay,
for us,
thanks, Bob.
Later, Jeff. Ed, hey Ed, you're head on.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
It seems like Jeff's making more sense all the time, don't it?
Well, he's got his finger on the pulse where this coal business is.
Yeah,
concerned.
I believe he does too. And I've heard him a couple times until he gets to goes to Sugar Daddy on another show there and gets deprimed. He's really got he's got a lot of good points.
Well, you know, he's right. I mean, just for once in the history of the state of West Virginia, could we call their bluff?
Yeah. Well, that's what I called you about. I got a call this morning that told me that John Wooten was on.
Yeah, I heard
another show, and I don't, unless something like that comes up, I don't usually listen to that show. But that be as it may. What little time John Wooten had that he didn't get laughed at or drowned out or just rudely told that it was something wasn't true or whatever. I did manage to get a number to pass on to the public, and that's the main reason I called you.
Okay.
Is this number that you call if you're against this insurance third-party suit lawsuit is 877. Toll free number.
Right.
877-565-3447. And all you have to do is they'll ask you your name and address and if you're against it or for it, because the governor put out the wrong number.
877-565-3447.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right. Well, I thank you for your time.
No, no trouble at all, Ed. Always good to hear from you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye.
So, you know, register your displeasure with this bill. 877-565-3447. Somebody down there needs to be made to understand that we're kind of persnickety about leaving our flag alone. Because if this insurance bill goes through and a bunch of this other garbage, we're going to have to take that Montani Semper Liberi off the bottom of our flag. Mountaineers are always free. Bug spray. Maybe retranslate it into Latin, Mountaineers give it away for free. Because that's what we're doing. We're giving our rights away for free. Let's take a break real quick. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
How tough?
are you?
West Virginia Sports Promotions presents the 26th Annual Southern West Virginia Budweiser Original Tough Man Contest, as seen on TV. This exciting event is being co-sponsored by 84 Lumber, Hometown Subaru, and Charter Media. It's coming April 1st and 2nd to Beckley's Raleigh County Armory. Up to $5,000 in prize money and Tough Man jackets to be awarded, plus an opportunity to advance to the World Championships and fight on national TV. No entry fee. Divisions for men and women. To sign up, you must be 18 or older, an area resident, no pro fights, and limited amateur experience. Just tough local guys and gals. If you think you're tough enough, call 1-800-296-3897. That's 1-800-296-3897. It's the 26th Annual Southern West Virginia Budweiser Original Tough Man Contest, as seen on TV. Coming April 1st and 2nd to Beckley's Raleigh County Armory. Tickets go on sale March 12th. Tough men, tough women, and ring girls, sign up now. Wimps need not apply.
There are three things you get at L&S Toyota. Great prices, big selection, no hassles. Now here's the specials of the week. L&S Toyota has brand new 2005 Corollas, over 35 to choose for as low as $13,818, including a $500 factory rebate. Buy a brand new 2005 Camry, over 25 to choose for as low as $17,585, including a $750 factory rebate. Plus, buy Toyota certified pre-owned vehicles with 3.99 APR financing for 48 months, a 6-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, roadside assistance, and a 160-point quality assurance inspection. The specials of the week at L&S Toyota, 300 Rural Acres Drive in Beckley. 05 Corollas, $13,818. 05 Camry, $17,585. Offers on select models with approved credit. Prices plus tax, tag, and registration fees. Dealer retains rebates and incentives. Example, 2001 Solara, $270 per month for 48 months at 3.99% financing with zero down. Offer ends 3/31/05.
Celebrate the risen Lord this Easter Sunday, March 27th at the First Baptist Church of Beckley. Enjoy a free concert featuring Kim and Brian Tabor at the 10:45 a.m. service. The public is welcome and invited to attend. Easter Sunday, March 27th at the First Baptist Church of Beckley.
He's got the heart of a conservative. Pickles on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 20 after 9. I'm sitting here playing with my old Latin grammar, trying to figure out what the new West Virginia motto needs to be. Montagne, Mountaineers. They give, donant, it. That would be rem, the thing. Montani, rem, for free, that's... Okay, well, we'll play with it. Any of you Latin scholars are out there are welcome to fool with it. Montani rem liberi donant. Mountaineers give it away for free. Because that's what we're doing, isn't it? I mean, what's the old saying? Why buy the cow if you're getting the milk for free? Why hold their feet to the fire? You know, we fail to understand just how powerful we are. We are incredibly powerful. We're not worth a tinker's dam with our own sad, sorry, little lone voice. But if we will band together and stand together, we're like iron. We can't be overrun. We can't be passed through. But that's only if we decide to stand together and make these people accountable and make these people be honest and straightforward with us and remind them that they represent us, you and me. Because there's not a blessed thing that we're talking about here that there's I don't know of many people that would disagree. You know, again, are we here, are we a life support system for big coal? Or are we individuals with needs and wants and yearnings and a future and desires, families, friends, neighbors, brothers, sisters? I mean, this is a call for us to make. This is not a call for them to make for us. Do we ever look at the flag of this wonderful, wonderful state? Montani semper liberi. Mountaineers, always free. And it's not even mountaineers, really. It's mountain people. Because that's what we all are. We are mountain people. Mountain people, always free. And that's cute if it's only a slogan. But it is something for a politician or a corporatist to be scared all the way down to his black little heart about if it is in earnest. You know, freedom. I don't ascribe to freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. I don't buy into that. Freedom, the Greek word eleuthera, I think. It's a concept. It's something that it's at the very core of our nature. And the question is whether or not you want to. You know, when you talk about giving up things like these insurance, these rights to sue people, my God, your forebears bled and died over that. Because there's a whole lot of people in this state whose forebears were at Yorktown or the Cowpens or any number of other revolutionary battles. They were there. And when it came time to frame the new Constitution after the Articles of Confederation had failed so miserably, the right to petition the government for redress of grievances. That doesn't just mean grievances that the government has caused against you, because it's your government and therefore it is your court system, no matter how many justices Don Blankenship buys. It is your court system. And you have a right to go there and say, I have been done wrong. And the right that you have to do that was acknowledged in blood. Now, I don't know, maybe I'm crazy. But I'm grateful to my forebears who did that for me. And I owe their memory the debt of being willing to stand up and fight for it as hard as they did. Because if I sit idly by when it goes on, I'm damning their memory. I'm spitting on the people that passed me the genetic material that is in every bit of my being. The jury system and the right to petition the government for redress of grievances and the right to confront your accuser are as central to American freedom as anything else that makes us American. You know, contrary to that little idiot in Washington, having a home mortgage doesn't make us free. Freedom is something that is way down deep in some part of you that no politician can touch unless you let them. Is that so difficult? Well, you know, it's just an insurance company. No, it's not just an insurance company, because, you know, if we give special treatment to the insurance companies, well, I guess the banks are next. And, okay, you can't sue an insurance company. You can't sue a bank. Well, let's just make it a blanket where you can't sue a doctor at all, okay? Well, if you can't sue a doctor, why should an auto mechanic not be immune? If he, you know, say he puts a tire on your car defectively and it kills, who knows? Why shouldn't he be immune? So we got insurance companies, we got banks, we got doctors, dentists, we got auto mechanics, restaurateurs. They'd like to be immune too, even if they serve you, you know, a big honking dose of salmonella. They'd like to be immune. Let's give that right up. At what point are you willing to stop giving up rights? At what point do you want to honor that motto and that flag, and actually be liberi? Liberty, liberi, it comes from that word, liberty does. And liberty is not enshrined in the fact that you can come and go as you please. It's that you can stand up on equal footing and call the richest man in America to account because you are his equal. This was something really special that they dreamed up when they came up with the Constitution, an idea that all people would be equal in the eyes of the law, because we are all the law, we are all the government, we are all the country. But some Johnny-come-lately comes down the block and tells you, if you'll just give up your constitutional rights, we'll give you $8 a month. And the person that is willing to give that up is dumber than Esau. He at least got a bowl of soup. Might have warmed his belly for a little bit. $8 a month isn't going to do diddly for you. Woohoo, man! That's not even 4 gallons of gasoline a month. And there's a group of people out there that don't even know this is happening. The ones that do had better do something, or we've got something to account for to our children and grandchildren. Grampy, why'd you let that happen? There's a race on that day, boy. Shut up. You didn't want to be free anyway. You understand? I think you do. Listen, it's that time again. And it's 10 minutes and change to tip off. Okay, I'm getting all attention deficit disorder here. This is Head On. I'm Bob.
School, his headmaster predicted he would either end up in prison or become a millionaire. His story next on Biography for Radio.
At the Rolaid Soft Chew Challenge, Dave's comparing new Rolaid Soft Chews to Tums EX. Dave says Tums, yuck, aren't appealing to his refined palate.
Yuck.
Next, Rolaid Soft Chew. Dave says they're chewy, not chalky. Then he discovers new Rolaids neutralize 56% more acid than Tums EX. Dave says he's speechless. Take the extra strength Rolaid Soft Chews Challenge in vanilla cream or wild cherry.
Yummy.
Use as directed based on lab tests.
He was an iconoclast from the start. He enjoyed music, but was irritated at the price of records. So he started a music mail order service and soon opened a shop. Customers flocked in. The young, shaggy-haired entrepreneur had found his key to success. He would find big, stuffy consumer businesses where the prices were high and service mediocre and swoop in and undercut them. He next launched a record company, signing Mike Oldfield, Peter Gabriel, and Simple Minds. Then, to the horror of his board of directors, he started a transatlantic airline with low prices and a television screen in every seat. Customers loved it. He launched train services, health clubs, mobile phones, nightclubs, financial services, and even his own brand of cola. The man known for his sloppy sweaters and loose grin also loves publicity. He flew a hot air balloon across the Atlantic and attempted, unsuccessfully, to be the first to balloon around the world. Today he heads Virgin Atlantic Airlines, Virgin Megastores, and the Virgin Group. The British billionaire, Sir Richard Branson. For Biography, I'm Lawrence Scott.
Biography is a trademark of A&D. Welcome to the John Deere Lawn Care Show, Green and Growing. Today we're talking mower maintenance with Bill Clutho, John Deere's groundskeeping guru. Bill, how do I get my mower ready for spring?
Read your owner's manual. It'll give you a schedule of routine maintenance, like when to sharpen your blade. A dull blade will shred the grass, creating entryways for disease. Your mower also needs regular oil changes. John Deere recommends changing the oil every 25 hours of mowing. For some, that's once a year, so change every spring.
What if my mower won't start?
The spark plug could be dirty or damaged. Check your manual for instructions on inspecting and changing it. Or just put in a new spark plug every spring for sure starting. Also, keep fans and intake screens clear and make sure that all safety shields and switches are working. And if you skip your winter maintenance, have your local dealer look at your machine and give it a tune-up.
Thanks, Bill. Tune in next time to Green and Growing.
Hi, I'm Warren Eckstein with today's pet tip. You know, a pet's life, like a human's, needs balance, a little excitement, a lot of love, and an interesting outlet for various emotions. The pet needs variety, too. A new trick or skill every once in a while, just for the sake of knowing something different and an appreciation of new things and people just because they're there. When you treat your pet as a family member, you will start noticing a lot of things you never saw before, and just as you see your family relationships change and grow over time, so will you also see the pet in your life develop and learn. A family's pet is plus people all existing in a symbiotic balance. The more you understand about this relationship, the more you give yourself, the better you can understand your pet. The two of you have a lot of love to give each other. If you never hold back, you'll receive more rewards, emotional and psychological, than you could have possibly imagined from the dog or cat who shares your life. And when you truly love and trust one another, there's no limits to your happiness. And don't forget, plenty of hugs and kisses. One of the biggest problems people have with their pets is boredom. Avoid boredom. Teach your pet something new. You'll enjoy it. So will he. I'm Warren Eckstein.
If you're like most people, you're sick and tired of your bathroom scale dictating your mood. If you're down a pound, great day. But watch out if you're up a pound or two, or your clothes are a bit tighter. This is not a good day. If this sounds like you, then step off the scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle. You know Cortislim people. You run into those Cortislim show-offs constantly. You hear how great and physically fit they feel and how they're going new clothes shopping after work. Well, Cortislim people have learned that at least part of their weight issues is related to stress and hormones. Cortislim people don't drive themselves nuts because they've learned the balance of exercise, nutrition, diet, and supplementation. Join me. Step off the scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle. Call now and get $20 off when you purchase two bottles of Cortislim. $20 off two bottles. That's huge. Call 1-800-LEAN-313. 1-800-LEAN-313. 1-800-LEAN-313.
He's got a brain, and he's not afraid to use it. Liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 24 minutes before 10 o'clock. I want to share something with you. This is an email I got from one of our listeners in South Carolina. And I want to share this with you primarily because there is a mindset we have here that everything is better if you'll just get on I-77 and start driving south. And, you know, we hear that line of bug spray from time to time that that good for nothing cretin John Overington from Berkeley County. West Virginia, we could grow cattle on concrete if everybody'd eat steak all the time if we just had right to work. You mouth breathing moron. They've got that down there, and the South, for all of its wonders and its beauties and its good people, you've got to understand it in its fullness. The South is a mean place. It is a mean place that much of that meanness arises out of the entrenched idea of an aristocracy that was created in the pre-Civil War days, and followed by the carpetbaggers and the attempts to maintain that aristocracy following the Civil War. So I got this email. Now, technically, you're not supposed to be able to, in this state, you're not supposed to be able to cut utilities off from someone who is in dire need of them, the elderly, the sick, the disabled. Well, in the cruel South, they can. And this is just a cautionary tale to advise people that think that everything is better there, you know, the grass is always greener crowd. This letter came to me via email. Bob, I'm pasting an email I sent my South Carolina State Senator concerning my situation with the power company. My grandson was born in August. He has spina bifida and needs oxygen and a feeding machine to survive. I'm currently unemployed, and so we got his physicians to sign a form stating that the power is needed to support his very life. The power company told me they do not honor this, and that I must come up with the money or they will cut my power off. By April 4th. The local churches don't offer much help either. Then again, they're full of Republicans. He says, I've worked in information technology for 20-plus years and have almost completed a master's in the same field. This past weekend, I hosted a prayer vigil on the anniversary of the Iraq invasion. I invited several Christian pastors, but none showed up. None of the pro-life preachers have protested the killing in Iraq. He says, my email to the state senator follows. I also wrote my U.S. senators, but I've not heard from them. You got to understand, what he has that they pass off down there for state senators are a couple of useless lumps of human flesh named Jim DeMint and Lindsey Graham. Notice the state senator can't even commit to what I'm asking. He receives thousands of dollars from the power company. They also contributed to the maximum to the Shrubs coronation. And what he sends, he says, Dear Senator Leatherman, I'm writing you to see if you can help me get some legislation to prevent utilities from turning off power to homes that have people using life support equipment. My grandson was born with spina bifida on August 25, 2004. He had several operations and requires oxygen, a feeding machine, and warning devices. I had forms signed by all of his physicians that state that he needs these machines in order to live. Progress Energy, however, informed me that they will not honor this and continue to threaten to terminate our power. I'm currently unemployed with no income and have told them this. It's a shame that they would willingly let a disabled child die just to increase their profit margin. I think there should be a law to prevent them from doing this. I also noted that Progress Energy supported several pro-life candidates, and I don't consider their behavior pro-life at all. Now listen to the response he got. Dear sir, thank you for your email of March 1, 2005, relative to legislation which would prevent utilities from turning off power to homes containing life support equipment. In checking legislative records, I find that H. 3345, known as the Senior and Disabled Citizens Utility Protection Act, was introduced in the House on January 25, 2005, and is presently in the House Labor, Commerce, and Industry Committee. If this legislation is passed by the House and comes to the Senate, if, you may be assured that I shall keep your views in mind. Thank you for taking the time to share your thoughts and concerns with me. I don't know what to say about that, except to remind you, they're just getting around now to considering the idea that you shouldn't cut the power off from someone with life support systems in their home. This is the state of South Carolina. They are up to their gullets in pro-lifers. But again, this fact goes to prove there's not a pro-lifer in the entire so-called pro-life movement. They're pro-birth. They're pro. It's a control fetish, really, when you get right down to it. They're not even pro-birth because they don't want universal health care to support a pregnant mother like Son Hudson's mother Wanda. She had no prenatal care, so she didn't know that her son was going to be born with an anomaly. They weren't pro-life, or else you wouldn't be able to get to this gentleman's door from the pro-lifers standing in front of it offering to help him with a power bill until he gets back on his feet. Well, Bob, the private sector can take care of it. No, the private sector can't. The private sector wants its bill paid right now. So all is not sunshine and violets in the sunny South. A very mean place. It's a hard place. It's a cruel place. And they haven't even figured out yet that you don't cut off children on life support. But if it makes it out of the House Labor, Commerce, and Industry Committee in South Carolina, if it makes it out of there, he will keep our listeners' views in mind. My God, he won't even commit to saving the life of a baby. Do you understand now that this farce in Florida is nothing but a bunch of hokum and hooey and ripoff? It's embarrassing. It's tragic. It's heartrending. And it's sickening. And while it's not supposed to happen here in West Virginia, let me remind you that it does. 5 days old the little boy was when he froze to death. Because the CEO of Appalachian Power hasn't figured out yet that they don't hook U-Hauls to hearses. We are sovereigns. It does not have to be this way. If we will learn to care more about our own and demand a government that is responsive to our own, you won't hear me reading emails like this. But you rest assured, somewhere down in South Carolina, some good-for-nothing Republican is sitting in the, the House Labor, Commerce, and Industry Committee saying, well, I'm afraid this would be bad for business if we... Well, you got to understand, you can't save every baby. We're very pro-life here, understand? But you can't save every baby, but we must save Progress Energy. Are those the kind of values that you share? It's not what the little old blue-haired ladies in the basement of the Baptist church taught me. But then again, I don't think we're dealing with anything remotely resembling any sort of Christian faith when you get to the higher, the upper echelons of the rarefied air of corporate America. Because again, well, where is it? Yeah, I got
some of that. Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, I got some of that jingling corporate communion, and I got some of that folding corporate communion. What do you think? Let that be a little bedtime story for tonight. For God's sakes, turn a few lights off, would you? Don't walk out of the room and leave the light on. You're burning up West Virginia when you do it. And think a minute. Maybe somebody else could use it instead. I shall keep your views in mind, Colonel. Oh, but it would just be so much better if we were like the Deep South. Yes, it certainly would. Jim's back with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Oh, all right.
You know, there's just a curious ambivalence that I have found in the attitudes that are taken by the, the evangelicals and the religious right.
Yeah, the revelationaries.
On one hand, they condemn any form of stem cell research that would enable medical science to perhaps and surely make our lives better. But on the other hand, they are screaming to the housetops about this poor Shiva woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't understand that type of mentality.
You can't understand it, Jim, because you are trying to apply the rational instincts of a rational, educated mind to it.
You know, once I on your program, I referred to an aristocracy of merit.
That's true.
And by that, I meant merit of mercy, merit of enlightenment.
Yes.
Of true humanity.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And merit of a non-corporate mind, which has no mercy, and in my opinion, has no real merit, except to feed its own voracious appetite.
Yes.
And that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah. Well, see, I mean, we talk about free market economics and things like that and capitalism. Do you think, I mean, take a look at corporate America right now, Jim. Do you think that Adam Smith, who wrote The Wealth of Nations, do you think Adam Smith would recognize what we call capitalism as anything remotely resembling what he envisioned?
No, I don't think so. And, of our budget, they say that 57% of the national budget goes to the entitlement program. Okay, fine. But when you look at some of the rest of the 43%, and what's left for defense, which occupies a major portion of that pie graph, and the waste, and really the uselessness of some of the programs that have been employed that really create no solution, but just create more problems.
Oh, yeah.
Because of jingoism, because of greed, because of selfishness, whatever.
Right off the tip of my tongue, I got one for you, Jim. The F-22 Joint Strike Fighter. the so-called next-generation fighter aircraft. It'll be obsolete by the time it rolls off the line.
That's exactly what I mean.
What was it, the Paladin gun?
Oh, yeah, the Crusader cannon.
Yeah,
all
okay, yeah.
I mean, they spend billions of dollars and trillions of dollars on these programs.
And little children sit in want
exactly.
and peril.
And as far as, the, you know, what I consider to be, you know, the proof of the pudding or the outcome or the measurement of exactly how has this moved us forward from point A to point B, these programs really don't do it. But yet we have to listen to the same people who will promote this thing, who pretend as though they are humane
mm-hmm.
and they are religious. And in my mind, these things just don't add up.
No, they don't. And you know, Jesus said it best, you know, they have their rewards. But the thing is, we're not going to be around when they get it. And right now, them getting their rewards on Earth is standing in the way of the end of a whole lot of suffering.
Well, exactly. I mean, when people are dying because of diseases that could be researched and they can find a cure for, when people are dying through lack of the common necessities, the common want, I mean, how many more crutches do we have to have see left by the fireside
yeah.
before we realize that?
Yeah, the ghost of Christmas yet to come is slacking. He's not getting around like he used to, I guess.
I mean, you know, I can hear what these people are saying, but what their actions are basically saying are those of Ebenezer Scrooge before he was visited by those three ghosts.
You're right, Jim. You're absolutely right. Are there no more poor houses? Exactly.
Poor houses not in force?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, let us decrease the circulation and be better off for it.
Well, yeah, and you know, Jonathan Swift tried to slap him in the face a little bit, too, with his modest proposal. And there were some people who took that seriously and said, you know, not a bad idea.
We really need to, to take a look at ourselves. And they need to take a look at themselves, these people who pretend to be one thing, but are in fact actually another. I mean, they want something. And what they want, I don't know. And they want it on their terms.
Well, Jose mentioned it at the very beginning of the program. They are the offspring of vipers, are they not?
It would appear to me as though that must be the case. I mean, I have no desire to see this poor woman die of dehydration or lack of nourishment. My God, I don't. Oh, Lord, I don't.
No.
Think that. And I feel compassion for her brother, her family, and her brother's description of what he saw, because what he saw looked like a victim from a concentration camp. But, you know, let's go back to that 1981.
Sure.
When the AIDS plague first came to this country.
Yeah.
The CDC couldn't even get an electron microscope out of the Reagan administration. They didn't care about that.
Well, no. I mean, the Reagan administration kind of liked AIDS. When you get right down to it, you know, that was when Jerry Falwell was running around calling.
Talked about how he dropped a bomb into a group of men on horseback with nothing but scimitars in their hands. And he described the whole scene. It looked like a rose budding when I blew them up. And I could not help but compare the same thing to the televised war against Iraq, where we were dropping bombs on the homes of innocent civilians. Where is the difference between that kind of fascism and the stuff that we're listening to today?
We're just better at it. You know, they were kind of, I still say, Jim, they were kind of ham-fisted. They were sort of over the top. We're subdued. This is fascism in a Brooks Brothers suit. You know, if we brought out the black uniforms and the Sam Brown belts and the down at heels boots and goose stepped, it would be way too obvious. But if you do it in a Brooks Brothers suit, that's fascism with style, man.
Well, I think if you read Kitty Kelly's book about the Bush family, you can certainly see connections between
what you just described in the first part of your paragraph and in the second part.
Oh, I've read it. It's there. It's undeniably there.
And the whole thing is a force multiplier. I mean, this money that we could spend, that we're spending on a lot of what I consider to be military adventurism, which is at best going to bring us very little except more and more trouble. I mean, you know, wars beget more wars. Conflict just begets more conflict.
Violence begets violence. Evil begets evil.
Exactly. And maybe if we could devote more of our money towards stem cell, medical research, things of this nature, we might have a solution which would bring Terry Schiavo back from the brink of eternity. I don't know, but I just feel that as a human being.
Well, I think you're right. Somewhere in all this, there's a fight over money, Jim. And if there was nationalized health care, maybe this fight never would have taken place. Maybe Mr. Schiavo and the Schindlers would still be on good terms. And if wishes were horses, beggars would ride, and if little froggies had wings, they wouldn't bump their butts on the ground when they hop.
Well, maybe and, so, but...
You know what I mean?
I didn't know this. As we go into Easter, and what that really means to these people, I hope that they will reassess in their hearts the true meaning of what happened on that day.
It would be nice, but you know what you're going to get out of the right wing. Look at the news, Jim. They're already dedicating Easter to Terry Schiavo. They are literally, they're not canonizing her. They are making a Christ of her. And that 24-year-old woman, do you think, I mean, among other things, that if you asked her, do you want this in your future? Do you want them to think you're Jesus? Do you think she'd say yes to that either?
No, I don't think she wants to be some type of Evita Perón or something, you know.
I know.
You know, made into some type of icon or whatever, I'm certain. Because, like I said, her brother-in-law said in my earlier talk tonight with you that she said she did not want that kind of thing for herself.
I know. It reminds me of the line from The Last Temptation of Christ where St. Paul looks at Christ and said, you know, if you hadn't come along, we would have invented you. And that's, you know, if it wasn't Terry Schiavo, they would have found another one. Because that's what, they're lupine, these right-wing people, they're lupine, and they look for people to prey upon, and that's what they're doing here. Jim, we've got a roll, though. We're at the end of the program. Thanks.
I think lycanthrope is a better word.
That's a beautiful word. See ya. Bye now. All right, that's it for tonight. Thanks to everyone who participated in ever so many ways, by email, by phone, or just sitting there by your radio or your computer. It means a lot. The show tonight was produced by the lovely and talented Taylor Sky, engineered by Randy Kerbway, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, and brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you are working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Also brought to you by our very, very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. The show is archived every night by Ben Birch at whiterosesociety.org, and we do appreciate that in extremis. All right, tomorrow night, hopefully I'll be back, and we can chat a little bit about the Mountaineer victory.